This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We already have some potential bracket busters creeping on up as we welcome you into this March Madness Round 1 edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former Super Bowl champion executive Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you live from downtown Las Vegas Circa Resort and Casino. This building is popping. The sportsbook is jam-packed and we've got a fun hour ahead here. I swear these first 2 days of the tournament though, Michael, I know we talked about our favorite days on the sports calendar a little bit earlier, but this, like, it feels like a holiday. There's just a different vibe walking around town today.
There really is. And I just reposted a picture of Stadium Swin. Oh, my God, Stormy. There's not another. It's packed out. I don't know what the weather's like, but it looks warm and it looks comfortable. But there's something magical about, you know, we all weren't alive when David fought Goliath. And this tournament brings us to that same setting where can some underdog like Duquesne, 11 seed, beat BYU, a 6 seed, big BYU from, you know, Provo, Utah. Can this little school in Pittsburgh who hasn't been to the tournament in 17 years, LeBron sent them shoes. Can they do the upset? Now, you know, everybody's glued to that. The intrigue, they say, you know, to write something really powerful, you need an opening, you need a middle and a close. And the NC2A tournament follows the script perfectly. They lure you in with an opening, some upset. They cover the story, and then we get a verdict at the end. And this is what you love about it. And for these young kids to experience this, those Duquesne players who will probably never be in the NFL can say, look, we had a 10-point lead against BYU with 18 minutes to go. You know, I mean, they're magical moments that life can never take away from you.
Yeah, we'll see if they can hang on right now. The 11 seed Duquesne up 40-30 in the second half against BYU. Also, Akron hanging tough with Creighton right now. We're tied at 31 with 6 minutes to go in the first half of that 14-3 matchup. And Mississippi State closing in on an L right now. 4.5 minutes to go. They're down 16 to Tom Izzo's Michigan State squad. So we'll keep an eye on them.
Somebody better go check on him. Somebody better go check on Will Hill. I'm worried about him. I'm going to have to text him, see how he's doing. You know, the other thing I think you have to be real, this is a learning lesson for any young coach or anybody who is involved in sports, is the first quarter, the first half doesn't really matter. Every team can stay even. And if you panic and if you get stressed because you're not winning the game by 40 points with a minute gone, you can't panic. This is about mental toughness. This is why when the Navy picks men and women to join their SEAL program, that 175 get picked and only 25 to 30 make it. Because it's not about who has the most talent, it who has the ability to stay present, who has the ability to do it play after play after play. This tournament brings that out in you. And that's what requires great mental toughness. And that's what we'll see in these teams. The fact that Creighton's struggling to beat Akron, no big deal. If we win the game, it just put more traction on our tires. It gave us a chance to become a better team. Whereas the media looks at it, well, there's something vulnerable about them. No, when you win in tough games, it builds strength.
To put some numbers to that real quickly, Creighton went into this one a 12.5-point favorite, tied right now at 31, and BYU was a 9.5-point favorite, trailing Duquesne right now in the second half. But that's an interesting point you make, Michael. And of course, like you being the NFL guy that you are, while you're a fan this time of year, you're still always looking at things through the NFL lens that you do. And I'm sure a lot of players and coaches are in the same situation where they love watching these games right now as a fan. But there are things that you can learn from watching these teams and matchups and different situations. What are some of the parallels between the NFL and times like these right now in March?
Well, I think a lot of it for any good coach is to understand how basketball coaches play style. They talk style more than they talk scheme. How we have to play the game. And if we're going to play against a really good team like Creighton and we're Akron, we have to play a certain way. We've got to do it for 40 minutes and we can't let up, right? We know they're going to make a run. We've got to make a run. So I think it's about style of play and how you adjust your game plan from one game to the next game, because it forces you. Basketball forces you to do that. And obviously, you've got to shoot well, too, you know, but you have to have the ability to drill down and you've got to test yourself, because in every game, football, baseball, it doesn't matter. There's always runs. I know some people in the analytical community don't think anything about momentum, but I do. And I think if you ask the 49ers when they stopped Detroit on that fourth down, they got momentum back and got that game back. And I think momentum and how you handle it is really important.
And momentum is real. I know we talk about that a lot during the NFL season because some people tried to deny and act like it's not a real thing, but it is. And you referenced it a little bit already, but our what's on Michael's mind today is the beauty of the NCAA tournament. And there have been a lot of questions, too, about expanding the field in the NCAA tournament. Some college basketball insiders have said that that's what is expected by the committee in the near future. Do you worry that another expansion will take away from the beauty that is the dance and what it is?
Well, I think this. We always have four teams that we think should have gotten in, whether it was St. John's, whether it was Indiana State, it was somebody. So I think because of the seedings and the automatic bids from conferences based on winning the tournament, it does hurt some teams who had good regular seasons that maybe floundered at the end. So, yeah, I mean, like Long Beach State gets in, but they took somebody's spot, right? Long Beach State deserves to get in for winning what they won. But they also took away a spot from somebody else. So if you added eight more spots, maybe you clarified that, you know, and you were able to get that. Because, look, let's face it, in a single elimination tournament, you know, it's not like the parallels aren't, well, we're going to add another playoff team to the NFL. We'll have eight now. Well, there's really not 16 playoff teams. You've watered it down. But in single elimination like this is, right, where you have to, everybody's playing, you can, one team can beat another team. And so there is a little bit more balance because of the nature of the game and the nature of the setup of the tournament.
Yeah, and I know that the committee doesn't want, like, for as much as we love Cinderella and we strive for it, the committee wants the blue bloods and the big programs and the big teams and the big games from a rating perspective. And so, like, I understand from where they're coming from, but as a fan, like, I don't know. I sit here thinking, like, this is what we love about the sport. I don't know who from a fan standpoint is asking for more teams in this situation. I think we've got a perfect balance right now. Even John Calipari said as much yesterday in his press conference that he feels like we're at a good number right now. We've got a couple games in action, like I referenced, four still ongoing. Long Beach and Arizona just got underway, which Long Beach went up 5-0, and that quickly flipped to 9-5 in about 2 seconds. Wagner, North Carolina, still to come in about 45 minutes. That will tip off. A few bets from our guy Mike Somich, who joined us earlier in hour one of the program. He likes Morehead State plus the points in that 14-3 matchup against Illinois. He also likes South Carolina against Oregon, Michael. But I told you, that makes me a little bit too nervous. When you hear that trend about Dana Altman never having lost a first-round game with Oregon, that strays me away from it. That was a no bet for me on South Carolina or the other way. I'm just unconfident about that game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go against Dana and then go again and then buy into the Matt Painter rhetoric, right?
Right.
You can't. It's either one way or the other, right? You can't go both ways. So, you know, I think you have to kind of like look at it. And I think Dana does a great job. And I know South Carolina's done a good job this year, mm-hmm. too. But, you know, there's always, again, what does that tell us about Dana Altman? It tells us he's a really good strategist, that he's not just a tactician, that he can understand how to strategize the ability to win that game. Now, has he won a title? No, not yet. But he's really good at strategizing how to win a game. And that's what this tournament's about, is strategy. How do we have to play to win? What do we have to do today to beat this team? And coaches, there's some that are better at strategizing than others.
That is one of a couple games where we see the worst seed being favored in the game. Oregon was initially getting 1.5 points, and now we're seeing that they're laying 2 in that spot. KenPom actually has South Carolina winning 69-68, but I think that we've seen that money shift because of that Dana Altman trend specifically. We also have Nevada favored as a 10 seed over 7 seed. Dayton, I've been saying the stat all week, but I'll reiterate it here after Boise State lost in the first 4 yesterday. CSU did win the day before, though. I'll throw that in there. Mountain West seeds 8 or longer since 2003. 4-33 straight up. 6-29-2 against the spread. But this Nevada team is one, Michael, that I told you as soon as the bracket came out, I felt was severely underseeded. When I was looking at stuff from bracketologists going into the conference tournaments, they were saying on the high end, Nevada could be a 6, on the low end, an 8. they end up at 10. So I feel fairly confident that they'll get the job done against Dayton today. I kind of like CSU against Texas, not to win straight up, but taking the points there against Texas. Yeah, I think I might be willing to buy in on that one as well.
Well, look, it's interesting. Nevada's the 34th ranked team in KenPom, and Dayton's the 33rd. So think about that. They're right there together. One's a what, 11 seed, a 12, you know, I mean, so like it's interesting. They're separately seeded, but yet they're so close, 10 seed to a 7 seed. I think to me that's interesting, and I think you can understand why you like that. Look, I do think this, as Mississippi State goes by the wayside getting routed by Michigan State, I think it does tell us that the Big Ten was really good because Michigan State only won 19 games, and you're wondering how they got in, right? Well, they were 20th ranked in KenPom. And you got to believe that the Big Ten's conference is really good, and I think their wear and tear on their losses helped them win a game like today.
Yeah, and the public, if this score holds like it appears that it will, the public will be a winner on this one. They loved Tom Izzo this time of year. And so Michigan State in good position to get the job done. I'm trying to look. Some other games that we'll get to a little bit later on. We'll have VP of Operations here at Circa as well as Golden Gate and the D. Mike Palm join us coming up in a little bit from the D where they've got, you talk about Stadium Swim and the sportsbook here at Circa. The D's got a watch party going on as well. And because you did mention Stadium Swim, the weather, it's beautiful. It's 80 degrees. It's perfect conditions.
Well, I'm not there. Yeah, of course. It was freezing last year. Remember?
Yes. We miss you, Michael. You got to get back out here. This is where the action is happening.
No, I'll bring cold weather with me if I show up.
Everybody is sweating out their brackets in college hoops. What about an NFL quarterback bracket? We'll get into that in a moment.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With the tournament tipping off today, you gotta remember it's time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. If you sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today, you'll get your first year for only $199 instead of our usual $240 price. And all you need to do is use our promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the whole year. That means you get daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our March Mania betting guide, which, yes, is still worthwhile with the first round getting underway today. We've got best bets for the action coming up tomorrow, trends, stats you need to know for each and every round of the tournament. Remember, use that promo code Lombardi. That'll get you your first year of VSiN Pro access for $199, VSiN.com/subscribe. We have our first final in the books, official, Michigan State beats Mississippi State 69-51. Tom Izzo gets through round one. No more catching strays for Will Hill. We're leaving him out of this. He's going to give us some more winners for the tournament, that I know, Michael. And while everybody...
You're not pitching a perfect game here. It's an 8-9 seed. They're always hard to get to. And like I've been saying all along, this comes down to not who the best team is. It comes down to who's playing the best on that specific day. And that's a hard thing to guess, right? That's a hard thing to predict. And so, you know, you go with your gut. Last year, Will had Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. And so he handicapped that well. This one didn't work out as well.
When it comes to this time of year, everybody obviously loves building out their brackets and it's a sweat. There's going to be bracket busters all over the place. Like half of the field is already probably done with just the one game in the books. but we thought that it would be a little bit fun to do our own bracket, but like an NFL edition. And so what we have done is we took your quarterback rankings and we've made some little seedings, first round, second round, title tilts in the AFC and NFC when it comes to quarterbacks. So let's get our AFC QB bracket up there. First round matchup number one. We've got Patrick Mahomes v. Russell Wilson.
Well, that's in the one seed overall, right? So you got to go with Mahomes here. You know, the thing about Mahomes that you really appreciate the more you go back and study the Chiefs seasons, particularly after Christmas Day when they got embarrassed by the Raiders on national TV, is his ability to adjust his game, his ability. You know, we talked about – playing slow. We were on the podcast today. We were talking about sometimes when Caleb Williams plays, he plays too fast. He tries to do too much, right? And the great players slow down when the game goes fast. They just have an instinct to really slow it down. And Mahomes, you know, does that when he scrambles and he moves. The game kind of slows down. Whereas Daniel Jones, the game is always hectic and alive. And, oh, my God, what's going to happen? The same thing with Ryan Tannehill. Just wasn't instinctive for Tannehill. So, you know, that's where I give Mahomes a lot of credit. Now, I think Russell going with Arthur Smith's offense and more play action can help. But clearly, you know, Mahomes is going to win this one. The next battle, I think, is an interesting one, right? C.J. Stroud and Tua. Like, look, put C.J. Stroud on Miami with Tyreek Hill. Who are you picking? Who are you picking, Stormy?
Well, Michael, so it's interesting you say that because according to your rankings, you have Tua above C.J. Stroud. But then again, this is based on last year's performance, but I was going to push back a little bit.
Yeah, based on last year.
So I looked at C.J. Stroud and like you lost Tank Dell and still were able to deliver, still were able to be the offensive rookie of the year and get your team in a position to win your division. Tua lost Tyreek Hill and everything fell apart. And
the, went to hell.
Yeah, it all went to hell. It all went to hell. So, yeah, I'm on C.J. yeah. Stroud. I would have this as like maybe if we're comparing it to the college basketball tournament and you have Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson is like the 16-1. I would have C.J. and Tua as maybe like an 8-9 type of a matchup, like closely contested.
Exactly.
Like it could go either way on a given day.
And I would have whatever you picked here is you think the arrow's up with CJ. Remember, my ratings are based on last year. They're not based on going forward. So they're based on last year. But clearly, you know, that arrow should go up for CJ because if you believe, as I do, the quarterback the second year within the system improves greatly within the system, I think that's something that you expect from him. And with Tank Dell back, you know, they signed Noah Brown back. Nico Collins can be healthy. They've got Dalton Schultz they re-signed. And they're bringing everybody back. They put Mixon. Now, everybody realizes they overpaid Mixon, but they have a back there. I don't know how much he's got left in his lower body, but the offense is pretty good there. And I think if they still have the draft to go. They still have the draft to go.
So I still have the arrow up on C.J. Stroud, but we're advancing Tua for now. He's going to get paid. We're going to hear all the wonderful things about the Miami offense under Mike McDaniels again. Let's go to the second portion of the bracket here. Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert in the opening round. Two-time MVP versus high expectations, got paid, but hasn't had anything to show for it yet.
Yeah, well, one guy wins a lot of regular season, struggles in the playoff. One guy has struggled in the regular season, 500 record. So you go, Lamar's the MVP of the league. But again, I think Herbert's going to rise. Mm-hmm. You got to say Lamar's going to win this one. I think Lamar with Derrick Henry is going to become a better player because I think Henry forces you. If you're going to play Henry, you have to play him where he's deep in the eye. You can't have him offset and expect him to be really the dominating runner. You got to put him back there. You got to get the quarterback under center to clear the room out, and you got to let him build momentum and get to the line of scrimmage, which I think fits perfectly for Lamar because Lamar now can run bootlegs. He can kind of move the pocket. I like it. I really do.
I'm with you 100%. I know we didn't see a significant odds change with the Ravens after they added Derrick Henry, but that's because they were already high up on the odds board and favored to win their division already. Like, I think he's going to be a great addition and just open things up that much more for Lamar Jackson. Last one here in the first round, and I love this matchup, so I'm curious to see where you go. Ooh. Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. That is an opening round matchup in the AFC. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, last year it wasn't the Burrow that we know, starting with the injury, the calf to begin the preseason and then the regular season, and then he gets hurt. So this is easy one, Josh Allen, today, based on last year. Not a hard one at all. Josh was sensational, still turns the ball over way too much. But look, Josh Allen didn't lose the game to Kansas City. They had a chance, and they just couldn't finish it. And the kicker, Bass, misses the kick, or else we're going to overtime, and we'll see what Josh does. So, you know, I do think, though, that I expect Burrow to have a better year. I think Burrow could easily beat Allen out. I think Burrow could be the guy to watch. And I think the odds favor Cincinnati right now. I think they've had a good offseason, and I think they'll continue to add players to their roster. and they kept their defensive staff in place in Lou Amoromo. And, you know, obviously they could replace Brian Callahan because he didn't call the plays there, right? So Zach Taylor still calls plays. Now, I'm sure they'll miss Brian in some capacity, but you can replace that as opposed to a true play caller. Like if Ben Johnson left Detroit, that would be a harder move.
Yeah, Josh Allen's a conundrum because we know how insanely talented he is with his arm and on the ground. 44 total touchdowns last year to lead the league, but also second in the NFL in interceptions, which is something you got to get reined in if you want to be considered an MVP caliber player. So while Joe Burrow's on his way up, it's Josh Allen that advances based on what we saw last season. Joe Burrow, of course, had the injury. Also a potential upset in the future with CJ Stroud and Tua, but right now it's Tua and Mahomes in the second round, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in the second round. Who advances to the championship? Who's in our AFC title tilt?
Well, I think it's Mahomes and Allen. I think it is. I think that Allen still, you know, I think Allen carries the team. I love Lamar, but I think Allen still had the better year. Obviously, some things changed in terms of their defense a little bit, but I think these two are the two best players in the AFC. I don't think there's any question. I think Burrow and Jackson could get in this if they have different years.
Okay.
Certainly, Burrow can move up further than where he was.
And these are the two favorites right now on the odds board to be the MVP in 2024. Patrick Mahomes, your shortest shot, a 6-1 favorite, followed by Allen at 7-1, Joe Burrow 9-1, Lamar Jackson 10-1. The AFC, as we know, is stacked with talented quarterback play in this spot. Josh Allen yet to earn an MVP. Patrick Mahomes has a couple to his name, a couple Super Bowl MVPs as well. I have to assume Patrick Mahomes is your AFC winner until further notice.
Until further notice, yeah. I mean, look, Josh is so good, but, you know, Josh is, you know, he's going to have to carry it. He's going to have to carry it. And I think he's going to have to, you know, overcome some, like, is their team's going through this transition? What do they do with Diggs, right? You know, but they gave Kansas City a hard game and they had the ball for 37 minutes. So I think if Josh can continue to not try to be everything and let the offense run, and they're committed to doing the things they did last year at the end of the year, which is run the ball more. And we saw how productive they were doing that. I mean, they're the only team that really could run the ball on Kansas City. San Francisco, as good a run team as they were, they couldn't quite do it like the Bills did. They held the ball for 37 minutes. I think Josh Allen can take another step forward. I really do. There's more to his game. And I think he can, if he cuts down on the mistakes, Stormy, that's going to help their team immensely, just eliminating that.
I hope he does. He's suffered a lot of heartbreak at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, suffers that heartbreak again in our Michael's AFC quarterback bracket here. But if there is any underdog you want to root for, it's the guy who made it out of the University of Wyoming to be a top-tier QB. Am I right? We'll look at the NFC a little bit later, but Mike Palm's coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, there is still time and usefulness to get the VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide. Inside the guide, we've got expert strategies, insider tips, and in-depth analysis to give you an edge to outshine the competition. We've got underdog upsets, championship predictions, and more full brackets from our hosts and experts, NCAA tournament betting trends and stats, and of course, bets for every round and game of the tournament. A couple games underway right now. So many still to come today and tomorrow. Don't miss out on this game-changing resource, VSiN Pro March Mania Betting Guide, available right now at VSiN.com/madness. That's VSIN.com/madness. We got a fun one going on in the West right now with 2-seed Arizona and 15-seed Long Beach State. Tie game right now at 22. Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you is welcome you back to the Lombardi Line. And we've been talking about how great the environment is here at Circa in the sportsbook at Stadium Swim. Well, VP of Operations at Circa, as well as the Golden Gate and the D, Mike Palm, joining us now because there is more action going on over there at the D. Mike, tell us about the watch party that you guys have going on. What's the environment like?
Yeah, Stormy, Michael, good morning. Good afternoon, Michael. Yep, we opened the doors at 8 a.m. Pacific, and there might be 10 open seats right now. I got three blackjack games going full, about 15 guys in line at the sportsbook kiosk, and probably around 400 people in the room watching the games, and maybe another 75 or 80 out on the Traverse City patio enjoying the straight weather.
Mike, not to get away from the tournament, I just want to ask you about the Otani conversation about the hole, his interpreter. What's your read on this?
It's very interesting. There's a lot of layers to it. I don't think Otani was betting. I've verified that this interpreter has had some counts in Nevada as well. There may be beards to the interpreter as well, or he's betting for someone else. I don't think Otani's involved personally, but it's very interesting. And, you look at it, and is it baseball based on something he knows about Otani? No, it's all stuff not related to baseball. So my whole takeaway from the whole thing is interpreters are very powerful people. Who's watching the interpreter? There's sometimes they ask a question, the question's a minute and a half, and the interpreter gives them 5 seconds. You know, it's very interesting.
No, you're dead on there. What I think has been strange, just the layers as we learn more news that have come about it and how things have changed in the last 24 hours, where you go from Otani, covering for his friend, having the willingness to pay off for his debts, XYZ. And then, before that report even fully comes out in its entirety on ESPN, you have the team and his lawyers saying, it's actually massive theft and he has nothing to do with this. But then you have the visual of him in the dugout together laughing and smiling. It's all so strange.
Yeah, they're yucking it up on the bench in Korea, so who knows what to believe, and it may be a while before we unpeel the whole onion.
No question about it.
If we had legalized gambling in California, which hopefully one day we will, we wouldn't have this issue, right? Because there would be documentation of all this, right, Mike?
That's interesting. Michael, the bigger the state, the harder it is for them to figure out. I mean, they had the two initiatives on the ballot, and the Big Four fought so hard to stop the Native initiative, and the Native campaigned so hard to stop the Big Four that they both got voted down in California. And, we talked to the state treasurer a couple of years ago, and he said, well, what if they both passed? And she said, then they would write a compromise bill where both would be allowed. So it's really strange.
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations here at Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate Casino here in Las Vegas, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Let's get back to a little bit of college hoops, though. We've got one game in the books with Michigan State getting a dub, a few in action, so many still to come in the first round. What are some of the games that have taken the most action and maybe sides that you guys need at the book?
Well, what's funny is, I asked the guys early this morning before I went on with Mission Paul, what's the one game where the action has you scratching your head? And they said it's the Akron-Creighton game. They really didn't understand why it was so one-sided for Akron. Creighton pulls out to the 5-point lead at halftime. But, at one point they were 8 of 10 from 3 and tied. So yeah, some signs there, but we definitely need Creighton in this one.
How about Duquesne? Was anybody – now, they got a one-point lead with 5:44 to go against BYU, so the game kind of gotten tightened down. Duquesne's been in control pretty much all along here. Was anybody playing Duquesne in this one?
Yeah, this was kind of balanced. We need BYU a little bit here. There were a few Duquesne money line bets. It's funny, Michael, because, we've been talking about how should we do a survivor for March Madness? So Derek decided that we're going to do an internal one this year with about 50 people, and Tim Murray's kind of helping us out organizing it. So he's in it. So, you got to go 10-0. You got to pick a winner each day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Monday, and not use a team twice. So we started it this morning. Of course, I have BYU because I knew I would never use them again. And when they're down 14, it looked like I was dead, but they're still alive here. Obviously, the emotional story with the coach for Duquesne announcing this is going to be his last season, a little bit like you get the charge for Long Beach State, too, with the Dan Munson coaching as a lame duck.
Yeah, it's just a four-point game. BYU's been on the comeback trail, 5.5 minutes to go left in that one. And Long Beach State, to your point, up 2 right now on Arizona with 4.5 minutes to go in the first half. Another game I wanted to ask you about, this Oregon-South Carolina game. Oregon opened getting points as the lower seed in the 11-6. Now they're laying 2 here at Circa. How much of that is respect simply for what Dana Altman has done with Oregon in the first round historically?
Yeah, Dana Altman in how good he's been at Creighton and at Oregon in March has to be respected Obviously, people watched him play in the final Pac-12 tournament. South Carolina got destroyed by Auburn again after having, 2 weeks earlier, the same result at Auburn. And you think about that South Carolina team, they were picked like 12th or 13th in the SEC. So maybe people look at that. They were playing over their skis for a while, but that's another game that we're very one-sided on where we will need the Gamecocks.
How about tomorrow? What's the game you really need the most? Which is the one that you're kind of thinking, oh boy, we got to get this one?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now, Michael, actually, as you asked the question, to see what our biggest needs are for tomorrow. Give me 2 seconds here, because we have it handy with the technology that Derek has put in place. We will need Clemson tomorrow. The most one-sided game is the love of New Mexico. And I got to tell you, Stormy, I thought on many levels the committee was bad. We didn't get to do no hyperbole this morning, but number one was going to be, yes, Virginia, the committee blew it. I mean, the Mountain West, for them to say New Mexico wasn't in if they didn't win the title game is ludicrous. Yeah. And then to get a 5-8, 3-10s, and an 11, and 2 of the 10s have to do a play-in, I blindly bet the Mountain West all 6 teams in round one. Now, I thought Colorado or Boise had Colorado there in the second half, and I would have started out 2-0 in the play-in. That didn't happen. But I think the Mountain West is terribly underseeded, and I hope that they show how good a conference they were here.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, the spread in this New Mexico Clemson game, I think, is perfect evidence of that lack of good seeding that you say New Mexico might not have been in if they didn't win the tournament. They're a 2.5-point favorite as an 11 seed and a 6. You got Nevada today, who is a favorite as a lower seed as well. I think that they're the ones that were the worst seeded in a negative way, being a 10 when they could have been a 7 or an 8. And then San Diego State, who, I love my alma mater, but they're the one team that gets the most respect when they probably don't deserve it. They're 5th in the conference. They end up getting a 5 seed because of what they did last year. UAB is a game I actually really like them plus the 7 against the Aztecs tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet it at 6.5 when I laid it blindly betting it. I have to tell you, though, I said going into the Mountain West tournament, and UNLV might have been playing the best of anybody.
Yeah.
That UNLV's toughest game would be that 4-5 game with San Diego State. And, they got it to overtime, but they couldn't get it done. I actually lost to San Diego State in the final there in that game. But I think UAB is playing really well. They beat a really good South Florida team. So it should be an interesting game. If San Diego State got beat, I wouldn't be shocked.
Last thing before we let you go, Mike, who's your final four?
I have UConn, Arizona, if they can get by this game today. Houston, and I have Creighton.
Who wins it all?
I think UConn again. I just think they're the most complete team. I think they get to the Final Four. They go through Boston, and somebody's going to have to play really, really well to beat them. I mean, it doesn't mean the best team's got to win, but I do think they are the best team.
You're awesome, Mike. Enjoy the watch party. Have fun.
Thank you, Mike.
Yep, we'll see him tomorrow. He, of course, will host the whole show with me tomorrow on Friday as Michael gets Fridays off. Love Mike Palm. And with that, I hope that he stays alive in the Survivor competition, because BYU on the ropes right now, down 2 at the official TV timeout, 58-56, a 6 seed against the 11 Duquesne. We will be right back wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line with our QB bracket round 2, looking at the NFC.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we've got a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use the code Lombardi when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now. They call it madness for a reason. Ladies and gentlemen, time winding down. A minute and a half to go. Duquesne is an 11 seed, up one on BYU. Akron, we've seen Creighton start to pull away a touch. It is an 8-point game there. And Arizona finally cashed in on some second chance points. They have a 4-point lead against Long Beach State, getting set for halftime with less than a minute to go there. I love this, Michael. We never get live game action while we're on TV. And so this is like the funnest thing for me that I have TVs going right now and a full sports book behind me.
Yeah, I don't have any here in my office because I usually watch it on the computer when we do football games. I can kind of turn it on, but this is the best time. And I love this. This is the time I like to watch the book, because as we keep that shot on, as people that have money on the game, the over total, obviously if you took Duquesne and the points, you're probably going to win this one. But, you know, it's so good to see how it all plays out. And even if you don't have money in the game, the reactions are so damn good, aren't they?
Absolutely. BYU took money, too. They were a double-digit favorite there for a hot minute. I think they closed 9.5, but down 2 right now with a minute to go. So we'll keep you updated on how things finish there. And while everybody is sweating out the college hoops bracket, we are out here building NFL quarterback brackets. And these are based on your QB rankings on where guys finished out this past season. As we talk through it, we'll do a little bit of projecting, but what the numbers and bracket is based on is last year exclusively. So we did the AFC earlier. Patrick Mahomes was the winner. He came out of the AFC to the surprise of, I'm sure, no one. How about the NFC? Because we got a little bit more parity on this side of things. Our first matchup of the first round, Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford.
Wow, this is a hard one now, right? I mean, this is harder than it seems, because the way Stafford played at the end of the year was pretty damn impressive. He protected the ball. When he was healthy, he was really good. I'm going to give the nudge here to Dak, but this is like an 8-9 seed here, Stormy. Like, long term, it's Dak. You know, maybe in one game it could be Stafford, certainly, because he's got such toughness and he makes the plays. But to me, that's a lot closer than it seems right there. You know, you would think with Dak getting ready to sign a new huge contract, this would be a no-brainer. No, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, especially if we're talking like a March Madness one-and-done scenario. If Matt Stafford's got some good protection going, like it could be on upset watch. But Dak, coming off of this past year, led the NFL in touchdown passes with 36, just 9 interceptions. He finished second in the MVP voting behind Lamar Jackson. So I think he is the natural winner for this one. How about Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins? Jared Goff led the Lions all the way to the NFC title game. And Kirk Cousins, again, he's in the NFC bracket still, despite transferring teams. But in his situation in Minnesota before he had the injury, who would you have advancing between Jared and Kirk Co?
I think this is another 8-9 seed. I had Cousins slightly ahead of Goff, just slightly ahead, you know, and I think ultimately, you know, that one out. You know, when you look at, you know, at some of those that are closer, you know, on one game, right, Cousins could beat them. On one game, Goff could. But I think overall, both of them are so similar. And we still ask, can they win the big game? Can they make the plays? And I think Goff is trying to put some of that at ease. We'll see if Cousins can do that. If he can all the pressure's on Atlanta. I mean, if Atlanta falls short, right, if Atlanta doesn't go to the playoffs, win the South, and win a playoff game, we're going to have the same conversation about Kirk Cousins, and he's going to be 37 years old.
Yeah, despite being...
when are we going to stop having this... When are we going to stop having that conversation, Stormy?
No, I'm with you. I was just going to say, despite being a team that didn't win their division and fired their coaching staff, the expectations for this year since they added that guy are massive. So I'm with you. Okay, let's go to the bottom part of the first round of the bracket. Do you love Jordan Love or could Jalen Hurts love in this category? Who you got?
I have Love ahead of Hurts. I just think he really developed as the year went on. And I think Hurts took a step back. Was it injury? I don't know. Was it the offensive coordinator? I don't know. But just strictly based on last year, you have to go with Love. The way he threw the ball at the end of the year, I think there's no question about that. Now, doesn't mean Hurts can't take him over? Hurts can't improve his seeding if we move forward? But right now, I think objectively, you know, Hurts is still a good player, but Love did some good things last year.
Prior to the 49ers' win over the Packers in the postseason, Jordan Love was on a run of 21 touchdowns and one interception. He was awesome the back half of the year. Last one here in the first round, Baker Mayfield and Brock Purdy. This feels like a 14-3 to me. Let's go, Purdy.
Yeah. That's still Purdy. I mean, I just think to me, I had Baker Mayfield as the 12th best quarterback last year in the league, you know, and I think that was probably too high. I put him in what I call level green, which is below the line. But, you know, he still is. He did some good things. I mean, one of the things you see when you watch Baker is there's moments of really bad play and then there's moments of good play, right? Duquesne just went up by 5 with 25 seconds left to go there, Stormy. Uh-oh. Anyway, there's moments of good and bad. Hold on here. Hold on. We got to get it. We'll get it. Don't worry. I love this. I love this. This is the best. This is what makes it so good. Here's Duquesne, this little school in Pittsburgh. Nobody, 90% of the country, you don't even know where Duquesne is.
Your TV, oh, I guess you're just scoreboard watching. Yeah, your TV is ahead of mine a little bit. Oh, 19 seconds to go. Okay, we'll keep it monitored. We'll keep it monitored here. But go on, because I do think this is interesting. Mayfield, the number one overall pick. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, the final pick in his draft, yet we've got Purdy advancing in a landslide.
You know, I wanted to say this, too, as it relates to the tournament. I mean, everybody loves the tournament because we love the David and Goliath story. But for some reason, poor Brock Purdy can't get that David and Goliath love, right? Why? Why is that? Like, everybody loves the underdog. We watch this tournament because Duquesne's going to beat BYU. We want the underdog, right? We want the underdog. And then when we have a bona fide, incredible underdog like Brock Purdy, we don't want to accept it. I have no idea. Like, it just blows my mind.
So in the next round, then, do you have Purdy beating Jordan Love? These are two young quarterbacks you like a lot. Who do you have advancing?
I have Purdy winning. Okay. I'm a Purdy guy. I'm a Purdy guy all the way. I think you watch his game tape, he's hard to beat. I like Purdy. And I like Prescott in the next round because, you know, we know Kirk has a hard time getting to any next round, right? And so now I got Purdy and Prescott, right? I got Purdy and Prescott sitting right there at the whole thing. And I mean, when you look at it, I ended up going Prescott over Purdy because of last year's numbers, which were great. But to me, you know, I still am one of those people that I have a hard time wanting to pay Prescott all the money because, again, this whole tournament here, this side, there's really only one guy that has played well in the big games, and that's Stafford, and we eliminated him back a long ago.
That's a great point. Yeah, the shots fired at Kirk Cousins, 1-4 in his playoff experience. Dak obviously hasn't won anything in the postseason, cannot get to an NFC championship game to save his life. Poor Dallas Cowboys fans. But okay, so Dak advances out of the NFC. He is your winner between Brock Purdy and Dak in the NFC champion. We have Patrick Mahomes as our winner in the AFC. Is it easy?
This is easy, right? This is like what UConn did last year. This is like what UConn did last year.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Storm.
You can't say that to the SDSU alum on the program, but then again, you're not wrong.
I apologize. Well, we still have 18 seconds left to go. I got it as a 5. Now it's down to 12 seconds, Stormy. You take it over from here. Who's going to win this?
I mean,
I
feel bad for our guy, Mike Palm. I think he and Mitch Moss are both out of their survivor tournaments this first game. Duquesne's going to close it out 60. Like, they're up 67-62 with 17 seconds to go. I would find it very hard to believe that BYU can get their way out of this. You never know. We'll keep monitoring. But I don't know. I'm more curious about the finish of this game than I am about our quarterback rankings because I have a strange feeling that Patrick Mahomes is going to get this dub.
He's the winner. It's easy. Yeah. And Arizona's 41-35 at halftime, and Creighton's pulling away from Akron 56-42. And Mahomes pulled away from Dak Prescott fairly significantly.
Yep. And it makes sense why, again, multiple MVPs for Patrick Mahomes, multiple Super Bowl MVPs, even when you think that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be dead in the water this season. They don't have the offensive talent around Patrick Mahomes. They find a way to now be in position where they are among the short shots to be the first three-peat Super Bowl champion in history. Not too shabby. And we only have about 30 seconds left before we have to go to the break.
65-63, Duquesne, BYU. What is it? What do we have? It's 10 seconds to go.
64, 10.7 to go. Ooh-wee.
Oh, boy.
We're going to miss the end of this because we have to get off of the air here. Other scores to update you on, though, quickly. Creighton up 56-42 in the second half. Long Beach down 41-35. And North Carolina Wagner is underway. The Tar Heels, a big favorite in that one, the 16-1. Michael, you're the man. Enjoy the next couple days off,
and I'll
see you this weekend.
See you Sunday.